For the past several months, our Friday Week in Review shows have all been coronavirus related. But this week, things are different. We begin today with race, racism, and brutality in America. There is yet another reminder of the complicated relationship between race and law enforcement, and another unarmed Black man killed by police. George Floyd, a 46-year-old Black man, died during an arrest on Monday in Minneapolis. Even more disturbingly, a bystander video shows Officer Derek Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck as he suffocated and begged for his life. We have made an intentional editorial decision not to play the audio from that incident. The four officers involved have been fired, and Chauvin was arrested this afternoon and charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Floyd's death sparked outrage across the country, erupting in violent and peaceful protests in Minneapolis and beyond. Here in Boston, Police Commissioner William Gross, the city's first Black commissioner, responded to the actions of Minneapolis officers.
In 21st century policing, you have to keep in mind de-escalation, right? Procedural justice, and fair and impartial policing. I don't think any of that was shown in Minneapolis, and for those four officers, they should be held accountable.
And while Minneapolis may seem far away, we know that these issues are also at home in Boston. So all hour, we are going to talk about that for a different kind of Week in Review. And the first of many voices you'll hear today is Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins. Just a bit ago, we checked in to see how she's reacting to all this.
Just profound sadness and honestly, just rage, quite frankly, which I think a lot of people are feeling regarding the incident that happened on Memorial Day. And when we think about Tiziana, that it's coupled with Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and what we saw happen with Christian Cooper in New York, people are just exhausted and, demanding change.
DA Rollins, you're a Black law enforcement officer. You're not police, but we know district attorneys play an important role in these cases. What do you want to see from your colleagues around the country?
Well, I think it's important as an elected official that you have to be tied or understand the community that you are elected to serve. And I think we're seeing a very big difference about who sometimes votes for district attorneys and who are in fact impacted by who the district attorney is or are. I'm happy that just in the moments prior to you and I speaking earlier today, there was a charging decision regarding the officer in this case with respect to George Floyd's murder. But I just think I want to see culturally competent leadership who is who has character and dignity and honor and is going to stand up and do what's right, whether there are unions or other strong forces in opposition to ever being, scrutinized.
What do police, prosecutors need to do profoundly differently to provide that culturally competent leadership?
So I think for me, when I look at police in particular, and then I'll speak to, my role as DA, what has been deafening, the silence has been deafening regarding white leadership in law enforcement standing up and saying out loud, we don't condone this type of behavior, right? These types of practices, these chokeholds, are prohibited tactics. And essentially, we have not necessarily heard that nationwide. I was really proud to read an article where Chief Tyes, who's the chief of police in Chelsea, Superintendent Sullivan, who's of the transit police at the MBTA, and a retired colonel from the state police, who's a Republican, all denounced what it is that occurred. We need that type of leadership regarding law enforcement, saying out loud, and quite frankly, Tiziana, police officers, when they see bad actors, of which in every different profession there are people that are not up to the task or, who might intentionally be behaving in bad behavior, You need to call that out or you lose credibility as an entire profession. So that's what I would say about police. But remember, police aren't elected. The mayor is elected and he or she appoints the chief of police. With respect to prosecutors, we're elected. And what I find, you know, the glimmer of hope I see in these murders that have happened over the last several months, dating back to February 23rd when Ahmaud Arbery was murdered, is that I hope people are now paying attention to who their district attorneys are, because those charging decisions lie exclusively within our purview.
Let's talk about that for a minute. You brought up the fact that maybe less than half an hour ago, we heard from Hennepin County District Attorney Michael Freeman that one officer, Officer Derek Shevin, has been now charged on third-degree murder and manslaughter charges after being fired earlier this week. Yesterday, that DA had said that he didn't want to move too quickly. He cited the Freddie Gray case as an example of the problems with a hasty prosecution. Today, he makes an arrest and says in the press conference just a little bit ago that this was the fastest they've ever charged an officer. So what of the difference over those 24 hours? And is he risking not having a tight enough case by moving this fast?
Well, let me start by saying, you know, I take offense to him alleging that 12 days after Freddie Gray was, you know, many people believe murdered, that the chief prosecutor in Baltimore, Marilyn Mosby, charged the officers. And although ultimately there were acquittals years later, so much has changed in Baltimore as a result of the bold and courageous leadership of Marilyn Mosby, where now there are federal oversight and significant policy changes in the Baltimore Police Department as a result of her leading with character and, you know, moving quickly. And let me remind you, in Freddie Gray, there was no video, there was no audio of what happened, right? There were no eyewitnesses, of course, aside from law enforcement. And I'd like to remind you, as often as we hear law enforcement talking about the no snitching policy they claim in certain neighborhoods, the thin blue line is very similar to a no snitching policy. Police officers aren't testifying against other police officers. We've seen that here in Boston itself. In very significant situations, a book was written about it, The Fence, right? So that being said, you know, the DA finally is moving forward. I don't know whether he was shamed because if you've heard what he said, he doesn't even know how to adequately, I don't know, speak about the community that is so outraged. He said, and to the African community, I'll do my very level best. It's African American, right? So our communities are just so tired, Tiziana, of being disrespected, talked to or about without our input, murdered, brutalized, beaten, and overlooked, that my hope is that there is going to be a surge of action when it comes to re-election time with respect to some of these positions. I do think it's important to say, though, I think the mayor has been exceptional with respect to his leadership and his courage in speaking out about what he saw was wrong.
The mayor of Minneapolis, you mean?
The mayor of Minneapolis, Mayor Frey, I think has done a very, very good job. But, you know, if we look at Governor Cuomo in New York, he made some really powerful statements about, this is no different than Eric Garner in New York, where, you know, for selling loose cigarettes, a civil infraction, that man lost his life. He was killed. Deadly force was used by law enforcement for a civil infraction with a black man. And Governor Cuomo said, why can't we learn from those experiences? I do want you to hear me say, prior to being district attorney in Suffolk County, I was the chief legal counsel for Massport, the Massachusetts Port Authority. And one great thing that the fire department at Massport did was after every plane crash in the United States, they would send one of their firefighters to learn from what that fire department did right and any lessons learned or changes that that fire department would have done. We didn't do that to point out problems. We did that to make sure that we could learn from their mistakes and not make them again. And Governor Cuomo, I think, poignantly stated, we should have learned our lesson from Eric Gardner. Why is this happening again? How many times do we have to be told a lesson or taught a lesson in order for us to learn, right? And James Baldwin said, you know, beautifully, as James Baldwin does, how much time do you need? Like, we are exhausted. This has been my grandparents and great-grandparents, my parents, myself, and now my daughter. We have seen generationally Black communities vilified by the police. And we,
so I want to ask you a question there, D.A. Rylands. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just we have limited time, and you've just said something I want to follow up on. You talked about generations, and you talked about your own family. You are, as we mentioned earlier, an African-American district attorney in the city of Boston. You grew up in Boston. I think maybe one of the questions on the minds of white people in our community today is, does the Black community in Boston feel vulnerable the way it appears the Black community in Minneapolis is, or is it different here?
Well, every place is one incident away from being Ferguson or Minneapolis, everywhere. No one is free from a crisis potentially happening. What I think I'm proud of with respect to the leadership in Boston, and we do have a lot of work to do, but when I ran for office, I was very active in the community. Since we've had officer-involved shootings or lethal force used by law enforcement, I had four in 2019 and two this year, not lethal force, but force used by law enforcement. We are diligent and transparent. And so within 24 to 48 hours, we usually have met with the family of the deceased. We have met with community stakeholders. We have explained the process. I think the mayor in Minneapolis did a very good job doing that. And it's my hope that Commissioner Gross and I would do so. But there is fear everywhere as a result of the fact that the police are the only branch of our government that has the ability to kill you without any oversight in a split second. And let me make sure I make this statement. The overwhelming majority of members of law enforcement are not this man. The overwhelming majority come to work and do an honorable job every single day, but it is the outliers and the bad actors that we need them to speak out against and that we need to hold accountable so that this noble profession can be respected by the community it serves. And this man has done, you know, more in that 8 minutes that he tried, convicted, sentenced, and executed George Floyd. He set back law enforcement at least 50 years by his action.
That was Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rylands. We spoke with her earlier this afternoon.